Okay, good evening. So, back on track. And the truth is that the Mechaber, the author, the Ramchal, some of the things he repeats over and over in this beginning chapter, but it's an all-important chapter. You know, this idea which he left off before we took a break about thinking and pondering our lives, it's such a remarkable thing. Yesterday, I had lunch every Tuesday. So I usually have lunch more than once a week with people. I'm waiting for some restaurants to open here so I can not only have, you know,
not
my...
Not the only one.
No, that's it. Yeah,
I
will have a makum kavua, though, in that
restaurant.
I'm not going there. Let's go. I'm waiting for bars to open up. So I had lunch yesterday. Every Tuesday, because I teach in the girls' high school on Tuesdays. So I end up learning in Palo Alto, and I have lunch at Izzy's every Tuesday. So yesterday, I met with an individual who is on the National Council of Reform Judaism. The man's in his 70s. And how did I meet this guy? He sat next to me at APAC, at the dinner. Like, it was my wife, then me, then him. So Hashem put him next to me. If Hashem puts him next to me, there's a reason for it. So I caught up conversation with him. So I meet him yesterday. I'm telling you, this is a guy, you know, he told me that he grew up German Reform. And he grew up in a temple. They didn't put on even, it was forbidden to put it on a kippah in the temple. It's like the old style Reform. That was old Reform, by the way.
Forbidden.
Yeah, absolutely. You grew up that way, right?
No, I didn't grow up that way, but I know people.
Yeah. Forbidden. And that, you know, his first wife was a non-Jew. All his three kids are completely not Jewish. He's divorced. About 20-something years ago, he got into Judaism, you know, and he ends up in Reform. He ends up on his head. So I'm, like, speaking to the guy. And, you know, this is just to his credit. There are certain people who are ideological. You can't have a conversation. He was open, so it was a very good conversation, and I can tell you that, like, a lot of things he changed his, at least perception. I don't know if, what will happen. We're going to meet again, and I gave him some things to listen to. But the guy's in his 70s. But here's the thing: you know, you can go through life. Literally, all of us have something like this. We go through life with certain impressions about people, about things, about life, about ourselves. And if we don't contemplate them, then we're not going to make the best decisions for ourselves. And we'll sometimes walk blinded in life to an extent. So when he's talking about thinking about it, because the whole process, this is a work about self-growth. This is a work about being better, doing better, living better, aspiring to do more. And the only way we can do that is by, you know, taking on ourselves honestly and taking on the world honestly. If we're blinded at what truisms are in the world, we won't really be able to be successful. So, to pick up where we left off, Ramchal says this, V'havein kama nifla ha-mamar ha-mitazeh. How unbelievable, how fantastic what we just said is. For a person who delves into understand it fully. Because the pasuk that we left off as the previous verse says, Tashish choyshech v'alayla. Right? Why are you asking which I started? 58. Tashish choyshech v'alayla. Right? So that you make darkness and it is light. So zeh ha'olam hazeh. That this world is doing a lot. This world is at some level compared to tonight. This world is at some level compared to tonight. And on this, that this world is compared to tonight. By the way, it's a great world. It's a fantastic world. He's not saying it's not an unbelievable. It's a chesed Hashem. You know, I was just mentioning tonight to the gentleman. I'll tell you a secret I told them tonight. Why I told them tonight? Because it just happened tonight. I have a thing, you know, if I'm at a gas station, and it doesn't happen that often, and the Mega Millions, you know Mega Millions lottery? If it's at $100 million, I'll buy a ticket. Now, what's the chance of winning lottery? Like, 1 in $300 million. But I figure, you know what? If God wants to make me a millionaire, here's my chance. So I buy, I don't buy Parable, because that's $2. You know, I don't have to spend $2. I buy $1. So if I'm at a gas station, and they sell a lottery, and they have Mega Millions, so I'll buy the ticket. So I was talking tonight about Moi Da'an. I said, listen, I wanted to say this. I mean this 100% sincerely. You know, if I would wake up tomorrow morning and when I look at my ticket and I think it's whatever day it is, and I won $115 million. That's what I went to the gas station tonight to get gas. I won $115 million. I would be doing a drink. I'd be, you know, dancing in my whole house. Without 100%, it's the gift of waking up every morning and saying Moi Da'ani and being a Jew is worth more than that Mega Millions. It's worth so much. You know what it is to be a Yid, to be a Jew, have a connection to Hashem, have a portion of the world to come. If we would realize how lucky we're, how great our opportunities, we would do that jig every morning. You would say Moi Da'ani in the morning. I love saying Moi Da'ani in the morning. I wake up, if I didn't say Moi Da'ani, I don't know how I would get through the day. But I wake up, I say Moi Da'ani lefanecha. It's like fantastic, how lucky we are. How fantastic we are. By the way, I wouldn't mind winning that Mega Millions and saying Moi Da'ani. That'd really be nice. But, you know, so we talk about the world being dark. It's not talking about the opportunity of the world. Life is great if we take these opportunities. The world is dark compared to night because we can make tragic errors. Just like a person in the dark doesn't see where he's going or she's going. I should say where she's going in this room. Right? Doesn't see where she's going. Right? A person in the dark is gropes in the dark and can get lost. So too, a person who doesn't think over their lives can make tragic mistakes. I was telling someone today in my office, you know, they want me to help certain person. I said, when you make decisions in life, I mean, I can't fix a decision, you know? If you marry somebody, if you invest somewhere, if you go to the wrong place, if you do something that's the wrong thing, there are realities to these decisions, right? So you can make wrong decisions. You can invest in the wrong company. You could, you know, if you just follow your feelings, you can end up marrying the wrong person, living the wrong lifestyle, living in the wrong place, hurting people, doing a lot of things. So night, it means that if you're blinded, you can make big mistakes or small mistakes, right? You could hurt people you mean to help. You can, you know, distance people you want to be close to. You can get farther from Hashem instead of closer to Hashem. So the Ramchal says, this pasuk, which compares this world to darkness, light, is a tremendous thing if you really think about it. When it's dark at night, you know, anyone go camping recently in the dark over there? No, when it used to be when it was dark, you know, they Point Lobos, they had lights by you?
Barely.
Really?
No.
You're a civilization. No. You gotta be like Heshi Fried somewhere in the mountains, like, you know, in the dark. You're out there literally in the dark. Right, so if you're Lamia Shemamik, when you're out there, you can make two errors. Or the eye can make two errors. Oh, if it's pitch dark, Yechase Ayn Ad Shlo Yira Mash Lefanav Klal, you can see nothing. Actually, my son, I learned all Bli Neder. It works out most nights. I learn with all my children. I learn with all of them except for Aaron, who's only
every night,
and I don't learn 25 minutes with all of them. I learn 2 to 5 minutes with them each. So now Shlomo Eliezer, see, I used to be Chedva, I started with her when she was 6 or 7, whatever it was. But Shlomo Eliezer sees his older siblings learning, so at age 1 and a half, he said, learn. He'd bring me a book, learn. And if I don't learn with him, forget about it. So I was learning with him today. He has this book on the Seder, and it has a 10 machos. So we did like Kinim, and I gave a little pinch Kinim. It was like, right? So I said, Choshech. And I put my hand over his eyes because they got the dark. And he couldn't see a thing. He's looking around. It was Choshech, right? It was Choshech. So there's Choshech, darkness. In the night, you can't see a thing. If it's pitch dark, you could be blinded completely. Blinded completely of what reality is. You cannot see anything sometimes in the dark. Oh, sometimes it's dark. You can think, you see something from afar, and it's really a sign, or it's really a pillar, and it looks like a person, right? It's 20 feet away in the dark, and you see something. Is that a person? Like, you're squinting, and it's really a pillar, and it looks like a person. Kena chumias v'gashmias olam says, that says that Ramchal is like the physicality and the material nature of the world. At some level, when you're caught up and submerged in life, it's a choshech laila, and you can make two mistakes. V'goyim lo'yishtei tayis. Ha'achas, enu maniach lo, shi'yira ha'machshalas b'darchelam. Sometimes you can be completely blind not to see the pits of life. You don't see it coming. You don't even expect it, right? You don't even think you don't see it coming, and it's heading your direction. If you'd only open your eyes, you'd realize, right? You know, this is the reality of what you're doing, of how you're living, of your lifestyle, your choices, your decisions, your manners, your demeanor, your personality, the way you're acting, right? Or your apathy, whatever it may be, you know, or your good decisions, you know, but maybe they're pushing too much. So sometimes you can't see it at all. And the foolish one walks on his merry way, and he, right, with a certain amount of fake confidence, false confidence. They don't even realize. They fall into the pit, not ever seeing it. They don't even realize what's gonna happen. Vuma sha'amar ha'kasav. Derech Rasham Kafela, the path of the wicked does not mean most people are not wicked. Most people are blinded. But that it happens to be a path of foolishness. Right? Lo Yadamaksh doesn't even know where they're falling. Vomer Aram Ra'a Ra'a. Vinistar Upsayim Avru Venena. So other places, a Kurpal sees evil and hides, but fools go on. They're oblivious. Right? They're completely oblivious to consequence, to reality, to you know, what your decisions do. And the verse says that a fool is, you know, goes on his path and just sticks to it, doesn't, lives in a false reality, in a completely, you know, one of the things, by the way, somebody came to me, said to me, speaking to a Jew, it was not yet so religious, so he was in Israel, he couldn't believe it. How many people smoke there? They couldn't believe it. Like, how many Israelis smoke? So I said that this is true, that if you actually, you're in America, but if you go throughout Asia, Southeast Asia, the Arab countries, it's not just Israel, all of those countries have much higher smoking. Europe has a much higher smoke. So I said, in America, I actually took a course when I was in law school called Smoking in the Law. And basically it showed how the big tobacco was defeated, not in legislature, but through lawsuits. That's really how they crushed big tobacco. But one of the things they did, and they forced these things to do, besides the Surgeon General, is put pictures on all Surgeon General warnings, eventually pictures of black lungs. You can, if you smoke and you all your friends are smoking, it's just fine. You laugh through life. I've been in the ICU with people with emphysema and lung cancer, and with their tracheas cut open. You see what it is to a person when they're 60 years old who smoked, you know. They kill themselves. When a person smokes, they're an idiot. A person who smokes is an absolute idiot. But the problem is that you're around other idiots who smoke. You got to be crazy to smoke. You know, 9.5 out of 10 people who smoke will have major health conditions in their older ages. Either they'll have a cancer, or their body or their heart will be weaker. They're killing yourself at some level. You're an absolute idiot to smoke. And on a Jewish level, by the way, even if you don't get sick, you lose merits. You lose chusim. Why? Because you're doing something which is recklessly dangerous, right? Smoking is like driving on a highway 95 miles an hour and saying, I'm not going to get into an accident. That's what smoking is, okay? So how was it in America that now we have smoking like a 20-something percent, and it used to be 60%. In 1970, it was 60% of Americans smoked. Today, it's like 20-something percent. Because there's more knowledge today. People, they show you the lungs. I see it, though. I've been in these places. Now, I have to visit the sick sometimes. I mean, that you look at these people sickly. You've got to be crazy to smoke. You know, I once had a great teacher, one of the greatest sages in America. He told me that after 120 years, a person who doesn't take care of their health and get sick, God's going to tell them, well, you died at age 68. You could have lived to 88. You lost 20 years of your life. Whose fault is that? Right? You didn't watch your weight. You smoked. You ate all kinds of stuff. You died young. It's your fault. You caused that. Right? And even if it doesn't, you're sickly and you're weak. Right? You're sick. You know, whose reality is that? You did that to yourself. So a person, you can live somewhere, let's say the really bad place, like places like Singapore or Thailand. I think Thailand has like 70-80% of the people are smoking in Thailand, right? And I want someone to show me a video of a 2-year-old kid smoking, chain pack smoking, 2 years old, right? You're growing up in a reality where everyone's smoking around you, so you're blind that you're killing yourself. And they're all laughing, and it's, you know what the sick thing is? It's cool in some circles. You're a nerd if you don't smoke. Right, you're nebbish. That's how they say in the yeshiva shadol. You're a neb if you don't smoke. What's wrong with smoking? They're all laughing. You know who's the loser? The smoker. They're going to be sick in bed in their old age. Right? In Russia, they still smoke in Russia?
No.
Not now, but they used to.
Yeah,
big time.
Nobody will leave the house and go outside. You know, it's too cold.
In Russia, that's right. Yeah, I'm saying, but here's the thing. You can smoke, and one day what happens? You get sick. That's if you're in a culture where everyone's doing something. You know? So the knife from the oven, the person goes blind. They don't even see it coming. I feel bad. I honestly, when I meet... I felt bad in law school. When I was around these kids, these liberals, who were... Especially girls. I felt bad for these girls. Like, the boys, they would be in this Ivy League, you know, mindset. And they, you know, family was very far from their minds. In fact, marriage was very far from most of their minds. But the girls, it, you know, at some level, there's a physiological reality that they want companionship. They want dedication and devotion. They want a mishpacha. They don't want a large family, per se. And everything around them in that world leads them farther away from that. And everything around them, their lifestyle, their career being all important, they're living in a world where the boys are like that, you know, where the men are not interested in commitment and the men are not interested in families. I felt bad for these people. I would go there and see these are sad souls. You know, they're on a path. You know, and some of these kids came from like more religious types of homes, but they got caught up, whether they're Mormons or Catholics or whatever they are, they got caught up in that whole, you know, cosmopolitan, sophisticated reality when really they're fools, right? They took themselves farther away from where they are, and everything around them is telling them this is great. The media, the music, the job market, then so you get caught up, and then you know what happens? This girl turns 42 years old, and all her dreams are out the window because she's already bought in somewhere. I mean, this is what happens, you know. You can walk through life blinded in this way. There, kilibam barlakulam, for the hearts of fools could be as wide as a hall. The knife from tear, they fall into something before they even realize the fall. Right? They fall into something even that fall. I will say this happens religiously also. I know people that they want kolol, and I'm a big fan of kolol. You know what everyone knows what kolol is, right? You learn in Torah when you get married. I learned to call all my siblings, you know, brothers. I think it's if you're the right person, the right thing. But if you do it for the wrong reasons, one day you wake up, you're 29 years old, you don't need to make a living. You're like, you should have thought about what you're doing. Is this what you want to do? You know, it's a serious nefesh, right? But if you're doing it, you know, if you're doing it because your friends are doing it, I remember someone told me that their relative told them, now this is in a certain circle in New York, kolol is the in thing to do. Who wouldn't want to do kolol? Like, it's the in thing to do. You know what? And when you're 22 years old and you don't think about reality, you don't think about the real life and the consequences. What's when you're 40 years old, if you're in that circle, you could end up making a mistake. That's not for you, right? It just may not be what you're looking for because all your friends in seminary want that. All your girlfriends want that. And they all talk.
That's what they tell them they want.
That's a lot different conversation. It's not all seminaries, and it's all, and you have to know where you're going, you have to know what the really thing is, but it's a different conversation. And if that's a good idea or a bad idea, I have my own opinions on that. But the point is let's take American system, not Israel for a second, with its choices. So at the end of the day, there's consequences. You know what it means to be 40 years old and living very skimpily? It's not so easy. Right? If you love what you're doing, there's nothing better in the world. But when you know it doesn't last forever and you make career choices, I look at people. I always tell, you know, when I have an opportunity for someone in their 20s, it's, you know, being in your 20s, it's crazy. These kids go to college, they have no idea what they're doing. They date people, they have no idea what they want to be doing. Like, it's like the most, you're making the most crucial decisions of your entire life with the least amount of thought, with literally the least amount of maturity and thought that these decisions will affect the rest of your life. You know, if you say you want to be a plumber, actually a plumber is a good living, but you know what? You're going to be doing a plumber the rest of your life. That's like, you better like being a plumber, right? You start a lifestyle, you skip yeshiva, well, that's going to be very hard to catch up on later. You marry a person, right? You know, you do something, there's going to be realities to that. Don't just jump into these things. You know, what do you want from your life? What do you expect from life? You know, one thing I would say is, you know, they show sociologically that people in their 20s, it's the least religious point of their life. I'm not talking about the way I grew up. That's actually, for many people, the most religious point of their life at some level, because they're in an intense society. But for general society, it's the least religious point of their life. It's also, for large people, they're going to be getting married somewhere in the secular circles. The ones who get married, it's like, I think the average age of marriage in America is 28 still, okay? So in secular circles, if you're going to get married, which is usually in Alabama or Oklahoma, the higher percentage is, but even in California, it's going to be your late 20s. So you're going to, so if the religious kids, they're 22, 23, 24, 25. That's typical, okay? I always say, be at your highest, not your lowest, because you will lock yourself for the rest of your life. You will lock yourself. Once you're married, you know, I can tell you as a rabbi, if I have to deal with a married couple, you know, I got to deal with both. You know, if the spouse has something, I got to deal with both. You're locked. I can't. It's a different reality. Now, of course, I'm talking whether it's, if I ask somebody tonight, I need them to host someone, I got to ask my spouse. That's the right thing to say, by the way. But it's not a one-person decision, right? Everything is like that. Everything takes two people. And if your spouse wants one thing religiously and you don't, you know, it's a big thing. Actually, I saw someone in Philadelphia. I went to speak to one of my great teachers when I was in New York, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. So this was in Philadelphia. So I saw something. I studied with this gentleman when he first became religious. I don't get too many details. But the man grew up completely, totally irreligious. I mean, like, zero, zilch. And today, he learns half a day, works half a day for multiple years already. So he has a successful business. I would love to have him here. He does a tremendous amount for that community. Tremendous amount. I'm not talking financially, just time, energy. But when he became religious, his wife was not on board. I mean, it was like a whole... you're talking about... Woo! He became like 100%. And the wife was not. You know, it was a real reality. In his case, with a lot of help, his wife came along eventually. His kids didn't come along. But his wife came along. And one of his kids actually somewhat came along. Actually, just today, over lunch. You know, I was reading breakfast, actually. I was reading, I get all these, my kids get Mishpacha and Ami. They get this Bina, which I can never read. I like put on the table. Oh my goodness. It's like a ladies' magazine. It's nice for... But I was reading an article of Stephen Hill. Anyone heard of Stephen Hill? Mm-hmm. Stephen Hill? Mm-hmm. Stephen Hill? Mm-hmm. You ever hear Mission Impossible? Law and Order? Mm-hmm. You should be answering. No, you're all taped over here. Yes. You never heard of it. Of course not. You read about it. Like me. So, Stephen Hill...
He played a Jewish character on the show.
Yeah, I read about it today, actually. Adam Schiff. He was for 10 years in Law and Order. So, Stephen Hill was a Hasidic Jew at the end of his life. Actually, for the way part of his life, Stephen Hill, he was clean shaven, for most of his life, but he was a Shabbos observant Jew. And so it talks about his story that he grew up irreligious, and in the early 1960s, when he was on Mission Impossible, he was ready to Shomer Shabbos. He lived in New Square. You know New Square? That's the Square Chassidim, right? His kids were all Square Chassidim, right? You know, mostly, or Muncie, Bahatim, or Yeshivish, or Chassidish, whatever it is. But Stephen Hill was married. So it talks about it. He had four kids with his first wife, and his first wife first started to come, but she couldn't handle it. And one day she just left him. She left him. He woke up, came to his house, and she was not there. She had four kids. And of those four kids, one ended up observant, another three not. And they got married a second time in 1967 in Muncie, New York. Had five kids, and all those five kids are observant. Now, I'm not blaming his first wife at all. Right? But once you're married, there's reality. And that's not just marriage. That's your career. That's the place you live very often. That's who you associate. You make their business decisions people make. You can go in without thinking about it and go blind into things. Right? Literally blind into it and hit a brick wall if you're not thinking carefully. So the first thing is you can miss the pits completely in the darkness of night. That's number one. But he says that Ramchal, Vahatayas Hashnia, right? Hatayas Hashnia, but the second error, he kashem in harishaina. It's even worse. When you look afar, you see it looks like a pillar, right? And it's really a person, or it's a person and it's really a pillar. You're looking at it, and you're blinded. Ishata re'isam acharayim hara, kilasha, you see what's bad, and you make it's good. It's the biggest avera, and you think it's the biggest mitzvah. The biggest avera, and you think it's the biggest mitzvah. Va'atoyev ki'ilu hura, and you see what's good, and what's good and warm and kindness and goodness and spirituality, you look at it as a bad thing, right? Because you're so blinded. What's good, you look at what it's bad. Mitorchach mitzchazkim umachzikim maaseim ra'im, and you go and you strengthen a path, right? You buy into it. Like I mentioned today, this guy I met yesterday, who is non-ideological, most people are ideological. I'll be very frank. The worst people to deprogram are people who are bought in into alternates. Just if a girl is a feminist who thinks abortion's a mitzvah, crazy nuts. They're so sick in the head. I'm not joking. I'm not talking about any case of a health and sickness. But a girl who doesn't know what gender is. They don't know what gender is. You know? They don't even have a clue what a gender is. They don't know what a boy is or what a girl is. So they go down the block and they have to put a tefillin on a girl at 13 years old. She has to be a boy. And like, literally they're trained. There's no gender. Right? You know, I had a professor. I think that's this. I had a professor in law school. Jewish guy. And he was one of these people who was so brainwashed by the gook they call education. So he tells me once, there's no difference. There's zero difference between boys and girls. I said, what are you, crazy? Are you out of your mind? There's no go nurse a baby. Tell me there's no difference between boys and girls. So I said to him, he taught a class called Legal Responses to Inequality. I was a terrorist in that class. I was an absolute terrorist. I went after him like there's. I got an A, thank God. I don't think, but I killed him. You know, I was a little bit nervous to be honest. But I had a paper in that class. So he tells me. I said, and how do you explain like say basketball that boys are better than basketball than girls? It's because when boys are raised, they're told they're better than girls in basketball. I said, you don't think it has to do with their muscle tone, their bodies? No. I mean, this is a professor in an Ivy League law school, and he believed this junk. Right, you can be a girl and think there's no difference between girls and boys. I'm not talking about equality. I think I'm not talking about feminine. That's healthy. I'm talking about reality. boys are different than girls, and Judaism is unequivocal about that. But you have a person, a girl who grows up in some reformed temple somewhere, and literally is so lost. I'm not even talking about Judaism in life. In life, or what it means to be a person, or what it means to have a family, what it means to be a reality, because they're raised in this alternate universe that their grandmother never heard of, that certainly Sarah Rivka Rachel never heard of, right? And you know, when you see the sharp reality, whether it's demographics or their own realities, right, it's sad and sick. And I mean, see, sick not to blame them. It's sick how lost somebody could be, and you buy into it, and you think, and it's and all that. It's a myth. So it's the greatest. Betty Friedan is like, you know, is great, right? You know, Betty Friedan is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You don't know the Anti Shabbat and Hartnoff Betty Friedan. She was a Jewish Jewish lady, right? The feminine mystique. I read about that too.
You're very well read, Rabbi.
Okay. I gotta know what's the pillars and what's the people in the dark.
Bina magazine.
Right. So you could, but this is on a serious note. You can be so caught up. I when I look at parenting, every parent wants to be a good parent, but there are parents who kill their kids. There are parents who the damage is done for years. I've had people in their 40s and 50s. I'm not a psychologist, but they are traumatized. Traumatized from the way they were raised. I'm not talking about traumatized, and their parents meant well, right? And they think they're helping their kids. And sometimes the parents did well, just the kids are traumatized. It's not the parents' fault. It goes both ways. The kids see the parents, and they also misinterpret. I'm not saying it's a one-way street over here, but there are people who want to do good things, and they're out there in marriage, principles in life, in business. They're a manager, principles, and they think they're doing, they're saving the world, and they're, you know, destroying it. I mean, you know, without getting into politics, somebody told me Obama's an anti-Semite. Actually, a few people told me past week that Obama's an anti-Semite. I don't think he's an anti-Semite. I think he's just a person who doesn't know what a pillar person is and what a pillar is. His that whole settlement thing was complete idiocy, right? People get emotional. I don't want to get all of a sudden, no, you can't ever talk about it. Like, you know, so I don't mean to say, but I don't view that. I view that as a person who means well and is blinded by reality, right? But we all do that, by the way. All of us. There are things in life where we look at it as a mitzvah where it's really, 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 really not. Oh, I need sleep. I gotta sleep. I said on Shabbos morning. It's a mitzvah to sleep on Shabbos, Rabbi. It's a mitzvah to sleep. You know, I gotta sleep. I gotta take care of my health. Meanwhile, whenever it's something which is unimportant for the business meeting, for everything else you have time and energy for Hashem, but it's a mitzvah to take care of yourself. You know, shalom bias. One person, whenever they're missing, I say, what happened? Shalom bias. I once gave a speech about shalom bias, about family harmony for the future. Every time he says it, shalom bias. You know, you can get out. It's a mitzvah. And so when the person misses davening, person misses learning, person does mitzvah, shalom bias. You know who said that, by the way? Adam, when he sinned, he blamed his wife Chava. You know, like, you know, it's not a joke. People, I mean, that was a joke, but there are people who look, they invest in all kinds of things, thinking they're doing the best thing in the world, and they're messing up. There are people in relationships that mean well, and they're very damaging. I'm talking friendships, in business, in relationships with relatives, you know, and relatives, you can have acute off, and that's high pitched with relatives, right? Feeling abandoned, or feeling good, or feeling that way. Much worse, he says, if you're blinded, but you're seeing the wrong thing, if you're blinded, you don't see it at all, it's easier. Why is that? It's not just that you're blind, you don't see the truth. To see something, you're just missing the pit. And what you see is the complete opposite, right? And they have proofs, and they have rayas, and they bring a reality that this is true. I'm right. This is the way it should be, and this is the right belief system, and this is the way you raise your kids, and this is the way you talk to people, right? Someone told me I gotta be strong recently. People need to hear it. Meanwhile, they have no friends. What's gonna be strong? You're an idiot. And I'm saying idiots in a nice way, like a shaita. I mean in a warm idiot, you know.
It's a term of endearment.
It's a term of endearment, right? I mean, you're foolish. You think you have a shita because if you gotta be strong and you're ruining things. right? You know, you gotta be. I gotta be fiscally conservative. Meanwhile, you know, your household is a mess because you're going to be spending more on psychologists and doctors post facto because of your stinginess. I'm not saying just to waste money, but there are certain things that you got to invest your money in. And sometimes you certain things that are worth it. This kind of thing, when you blinded and you think what's good is bad and what being nice and kind, that's for suckers. Or being spiritual, I can't do that. That's old world. That's foolish. Or that's not me. And that's, you know... The nations, you know, fattened its. Yeshaya says we're talking about the time of the first Beis Hamikdash when they were sinning, when they're on the path of the first temple being destroyed. So Isaiah says this is what happened. These are the people alive in the generation, the first temple, the end of the generation, the first temple, that the nation that their heart became fat. Va'aznav hachbed. Right, their ears became hardened. The ein of hosha, and their eyes became shut and sealed, which means they were completely oblivious. They thought they were fantastic. They were great. They were wonderful. Right, everything I'm doing is great, and really, they're on a path of destruction for table. The whole zeh says the Ramchal. They're going in darkness. That they're at some level they're under Yitzhara. If you can get out of that Yitzhara, right? Such a person could see the truth in the absolute truth. Right? And you can advise other people to it. Now, so I'll say a thing I've said before. I look at an iPhone. If anyone's honest about these iPhones, or Q phones, or strawberries, or blueberries, or blackberries, or universes, or planets, or galaxies, whatever you have, right? Or druids, or ant phones, what are they called? Okay? I think I covered them all. If you're honest, So for certain gentlemen, they go on sites. I'm not talking, they go to the gutters of the world. But for all normal people, the amount of waste of time, the amount of addiction to these things, it's crazy. So I remember when the Gedolim a few years ago spoke out against people, thought, oh, you're so outworld. I mean, these people are slaves to their phones. The people complaining, they can't even... They're addicted. They can't go 24 hours without looking at a phone. I think actually some people can't even go a half hour without checking their email. You know? Or going on to posh it, they're slaves. I say this, anyone here, honestly, if you don't monitor how you use your phone, you're going to waste your life at some level. At some level you waste your life. Internet period. There will be some loss of life. I'm not saying complete loss of life, and you're a bad person, but some loss of vitality, productivity, happiness, success, right? You know, because that's what it does. It just sucks you into this thing. People live on their phones. You know, people just live there. And today, in social media, people's self-esteem is there. It's like, I'm not saying that all these things have good uses, by the way. It's like driving a car. A car can be a good thing, or you can get into a car accident and die. You know, but it's even more addictive. So, you know, you speak to a gullible, like, you know, that talking about cell phone usage as being addictive. Right? People are like, oh, what are you talking about? Right? A true tzaddik, a true wise person, they've beat the Yitzhara largely. They can give people advice how to be successful in beating it. Now, a Talmud Chacham, a gadol, and I've had the good fortune to be around many of the greats this past generation. So, you know, I wouldn't say they're going to ask them advice, you know, which stock to invest in per se, or what surgery to do. Though there have been such great scholars at the Chazon Ish, like, you know, or Rav Avadia Yosef maybe, like, or Moshe Feinstein, But you know what it is? Even when you're making decisions about investing in a business or marriage, they have a clear head. So they can help you see, no, it's not a good idea because of who you are. If you invest in this business, your personality, it will mess you up. It will mess up your family life. It will, you know, what does it take to run a business like this? This, you're ready for marriage, family. I mean, there's a million things. You know, surgery. You speak to a wise person because so many of our decisions, even if, you know, if I have to make a decision, it's like, I'm on the ground here. I know the situation better. I know a science better. But I can speak to a big tzaddik or a big Talmud Chacham, a big Roshiva, and they can help me analyze it. Why? Because they have a very clear head. Right? It doesn't mean they can tell you this stock versus this stock. That's not how it works. You know, or this. It means that when they'll help you analyze the situation. Certainly, and beating the Sahara and learning how to connect to Hashem, a wise person can help a person tremendously. Why? Because they've already got out the answer. That's what he says next. Halamaza daima. What's this? Like, Liganam Vucha. Like, the old days, they used to have those garden, you know, like those mazes in the gardens. Never see anyone in the mazes in the gardens. They used to have it. They could walk in the garden. The kings used to have these things. It's like, it's the type of garden the royalty, I do it to Sarim, used to have as a popular sport. In the Tias Asuras, they would make the gardens, right, the fences, and it was like a maze to get through. Ubeinayim shvilim rab and avoychim were of the many types of rows that were confusing and interconnected. Kulam gomes azay. So if you're in the maze, it's very hard to see how to get out of there. Like, you don't know, turn right, turn left, and you can get caught lost in this in these mazes. The point is to get to the middle, to the large pavilion area in the middle. There are paths that can lead you there. And some paths will lead you farther away from where you need to get to. If you're going to walk through the paths, you don't know if you're on the right path or wrong path, because you're in the middle of the maze. It all looks the same to you. So you can't see, unless you know how to tell the right way. You already went through it and figured out the right way. Or you're in the middle and you can see clearly the whole maze. Right? If you're in the middle, you can see how the maze goes. Because you can see the right path versus the wrong path. You can tell others how to get to where you need to. If you want to trust, if you see somebody who knows the path, the way they get there, or is in the middle telling you, turn right, turn left, turn this way. There are GPS for you. Right? They are your GPS. They can be helpful to you. Right? Ultimately, it's subjective. It's not objective in real life. Right? Yagilok, you can get to the right place, your destination. If you want to just go on your own way, I know best. You know, that's why, you know, teenagers or 20-year-olds, if they listen to adults very often, they make wiser decisions. You know, if there's a reason, their good guidance counselor, a guidance counselor could be helpful. Right? A life coach for the right type of person, and certainly a parent who's wise. For a person that's a wise parent, they're very lucky. A grandparent, otherwise, they're very lucky, right? A Rebbe who's wise. I mean, all of these things, they can help you get to where you need to get to. I once told somebody, but if you're going to go in your own way and you think that you're going to better very often in life, you're going to end up the wrong way. I once said, like, you know what life is like. Have you ever, anyone ever heard of this? Something called The Wizard of Oz? Anyone ever hear of this? You read about it. She read about it.
Saw it on television.
I'll turn off the tape. So there's a Wizard of Oz. You know, there's the what do you have to follow? The yellow
brick road.
Follow the brick. I said, our life is really like it's that yellow brick road, right? You know, everyone needs to get what's called to the world to come, the Garden of Eden, right? You need life is really about getting on the yellow brick road. Here's the thing: in life, very often, you're not born. You know, some people are born far away from the yellow brick road. They're born into houses or countries or places far away from that. They got to find their way onto that yellow brick road. Other people are fortunate enough to be born on the yellow brick road. But what happens? There's lots of pretty attractions on the side of the road that looks like chocolate and flowers and this. And sometimes you get off that road a little bit, right? And if you can get lost and not get back on that road, right? There's lots of things that can pull you off the road. The key in life is to get on that road, right? And not get caught up by the things that take you off. And if you're not on that road, to find your way onto that road. So the way a person gets onto that road and stays onto the road is not getting caught up in the darkness, because the things that take us off are the points of darkness. They lead us off that road, and it's possible to make major turns, sometimes just short detours, right? And sometimes not to get there as quickly as you can or as productively as you can. Right? And whether it's ourselves first and foremost, or connecting to the Torah or sages or thinking, or even you have to go to anyone, whether it's whoever it may be or yourself, you need to be honest. You need to have open eyes, what you're doing, how you're doing, who am I, what am I. You know what's an amazing thing? The Meraglim, did they ask Moshe before they went to the land of Israel? Spies? Mm-hmm. They did. So why did Moshe tell them to do it? Because they were dishonest with him. No, even Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're going to be this, who could read minds, if you're dishonest, you go to some great sage, or you tell yourself something, you're dishonest, you're going to end up on the wrong path of life. Right? Again, so, you know what? There are big paths and small paths. I look at it as a tragedy if that path is that the rest of your life you don't pray properly. That's a tragedy. Now, I mean, you still may be a great person, nice, kind, caring, have a lot of great character traits, but you lost something there. Right? There's a loss. It's a tragedy if you walk around a little bit grumpy. You know, I have one of my books that my kids read. It was called Grumpy Gamal. It was the Grumpy Camel. It's about having guests. So I always say to my kids, I forgot the book already. I said, don't be a Grumpy Gamal. Be a Grumpy Camel. And I always think they know the reference. Be a Grumpy Camel. You know, who in the world walks on grumpy? I say, I walk around grumpy if I don't have my coffee. But it's understandable, right? Right. No, but seriously, you could have a path where it's okay. And I'm not saying this for myself. I don't have my coffee. I'm allowed to be grumpy. Who in the world told you to be grumpy because you don't have your coffee? And even if you can't get a coffee, you have to. But we get into these mindsets. And if you're not thinking things through clearly, the best way is ourselves. Sometimes we need a little external help to ask advice and be honest with ourselves and asking advice as well. That's how a person's successful. Person who hasn't yet overcome, whether it's in their life and how they deal with things, how they deal with their marriage, how they deal with their children, how they deal with their relationships, how they deal with Hashem, how they deal with their laziness or too much. Some people are too zealous. They wake up in the morning, they're just too busy. I knew somebody that I knew, but never advised them. They almost had a nervous breakdown. They were doing so many things, you know, like. You know, and they're doing good things, and lots of mitzvahs, lots of chesed, and they just couldn't handle what they're doing. It was too quickly for them. You need to know, have a certain amount of self-knowledge. Right? But the people, that's the righteous, the tzaddikim, they already are in the center. They can help you get to where you need to get to. I once read a book where men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Anyone know this book? In the beginning of the book, it talks about how to get what you want out of marriage. And then I read this guy's biography. He was divorced 3 times. He's going to tell people how to be married? Crazy. Men are from Mars. And remember, this guy's divorced. Like, this is your advice giver? I didn't even like it. How to get what you want out of marriage? Like, that line itself was a turnoff. But on a serious note, if I'm going to ask somebody for marriage advice, I want somebody who knows what marriage is. You know, someone once gave me a book by a religious psychologist, on raising children. The guy had no children. He was a religious psychologist. I'm sure he dealt with, I mean, it's a bit stiffer when they're in your house and it's 2 o'clock in the morning or it's 5 in the morning or you have a few kids and this one spilled them. I mean, you can talk all you want in West Point. You know, school is West Point. The battlefield is real life. You know, you talk about, when I speak at a drasha, I look at it as West Point. I'm giving you ideas. You know what real life is? I deal with marriage. Real life is dealing with marriage, right? You know, like raising kids. Real life is dealing with raising kids. You got to apply. You need to know how to apply it. So everything we're saying is true. But then there's the reality. You know, old people or experienced people have a lot of experience in life. So I'm going to ask somebody about raising children. I'm going to ask somebody who knows what raising children is. You ask business advice. Who would you rather ask? Warren Buffett, right? Or a guy who has never had a successful business in his life, never had one good investment. Who are you gonna ask? Are you crazy? You're gonna ask, Joe Gonzalez or Joe Green? Joe Green never had a successful business. I've opened 8 businesses. How many have been successful? None. Joe, tell me your business. Tell me how to do business. That's who you can ask. You know, I look at these, people going to psychologists today, and there's some very good, my mother-in-law's a social worker. It's an excellent social worker as a psychologist, and some things that can be very helpful for. But a lot of them are complete failures. I've had lunch with the people. They're miserable wretches. You know, and the reason they went to psychology is because they had to find themselves. Right? I'm not joking. I'm serious. My mother can tell you the same thing, And some of them are great people, successful people. But, if you could ask advice from somebody, they better be successful they're doing. You're dealing with emotional health of people or communication skills, and they can't. I once went to psychologist, and he told me, this is a guy who somebody involved me with for somebody else, so he met with me. It was not from here, it was from somewhere else in the Bay Area, and they asked me to get involved. And he was involved in a family feud. This guy was divorced, had a bad relationship with his daughter. This is my lunch conversation that came up. I met them 3 times for lunch just to talk. And over the time, I'm thinking, this is the guy helping them? This is who's giving advice? This is who asking for advice? Someone once told me they were asking marriage advice. The person was divorced. How do you ask someone divorce or marriage advice? Crazy. Crazy. I mean, it's crazy. You ask people who are successful when they do. You got a medical, a person lost their practice. You go with them for medical advice? Good luck to you. And I say this by psychologists. I'm really nervous. Some people go in, some people. Sometimes it's marriage, communication. That is a little bit less dangerous. But there are people who have real mental health issues. You're very vulnerable, okay? And some of these people are creepy. Some of these people are certainly anti-Torah. And some of these people are just not good. And there are some excellent, wonderful people, really, and who help people sincerely. But you know what? In any area of life, you want to ask. So if you're going to talk about being the Yetzer Hara, being successful spiritually, religiously, you better make sure to go to someone who has good advice. People ask their girlfriends or their girlfriends also taking drugs. You're a drug addict. You ask another drug addict, how do I get become not a drug addict? What are you asking a drug addict for? You're also a drug addict. A smoker doesn't ask a smoker. Maybe a smoker could ask somebody who never smoked or broke smoking, but you don't ask somebody who's still smoking with you. How do you get out of this? So you go to a wise person, a righteous person, a tzaddik. You gain and you glean. You know how to beat and be successful in life. Call a drug name, but if you they can advise them, it says, whoever wants to listen. You don't want to listen? You don't want to listen? You're not going to hear. It can't help people. A long time ago, I used to get frustrated. And then I heard from a great sage, you can't help people who won't want to be helped. You don't want to be helped. You just can't do it. It's a trap. You can see people making terrible decisions. You just can't help them. If they're not open to being helped, you're not going to be able to help them. You just can't do it. And what is the greatest wisdom? The greatest wisdom which the sages give us, what the Torah gives us. Bo cheshboin. Come to this cheshboin. Bo nechashiv cheshboin oshom. Make an accounting. Think about your life. Think about what you're doing. Ponder it. Think about before you make your decisions. Before you make these decisions. Before you chart out things in this world, before you jump into these things, big or small, and the paths that we take, the approaches that we take, right? I had somebody that were listening to a certain lecture series on a certain topic. I said, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think the speaker knows what they're talking about. I don't know too detailed, so I'm being taped. But they didn't listen to me, and they made major errors, and they told me a while after, and it's unfortunate that the errors were made because there are consequences to this day because of this. Right? There are consequences to it. I, 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 they don't, no, this is a good speaker. And for some people, maybe it was. right? I knew, and I'm not so wise. I told the person, don't follow this path. No, right? So, and you know what the problem was? It wasn't me. It was this person not thinking through and not doing their research, what they were doing, right? Say, so think about it. I've done many idiotic things myself, you know, foolish things in an endearing way, right? Baruch Hashem, the greatest advice is think about our lives. Think about, analyze what we're doing. Analyze what our paths are in life. Analyze what we're saying to ourselves. Analyze how we're treating people. Analyze how we do with Hashem. Right? How are we doing? Remember Ed Koch?
Yes, mayor, former mayor of New York.
What did he say? How am I doing? Right? How am I doing? Right? You know, sometimes I'm amazed. The marriage couple comes to you 5 times. It's always the same thing. It's the same exact topic. Why are you here again? You know what you need. Like, it's like the same thing over and over. It's like a broken record. Fix it. Well, I don't need me to tell you the same thing. I'll twist the story because the situation. It's the same reality. If it's not working, I'm not talking about people who care about each other, right? I'm talking about people who love each other. But they just are on this broken record. And they, you know, think about it, and you won't end up in the same place as you did 6 months ago, right? Fix the situation, right? Bone extra. If this is not working, think it through. You know, if a person comes to prayer every Shabbos, they come late. Why in the world are you late every Shabbos? Why? Are you crazy? Do you know what life is about? Do you know how long you've been in this world for? Do you know what Judaism is? Do you know what Judaism is? So the person tells me, Rabbi Levine, I'm working towards that. That I can actually, I appreciate. You give a few months. Give a little leeway. Because everybody needs to work in it. But the whole life? I once mentioned this. Somebody told me they bench on Shabbos. They say, Birkat HaMazon on Shabbos. Bench on Shabbos. Do you eat only on a week, once a week? What does that mean? You bench on, or like I keep kosher once a week. Now, so if a person tells me, listen, I know I'm wrong, and I'm working on it, I'm like, that's my plan. I can hear that. You know, there are things that I work, and we all work on things that are long term. But that's your ideology. You're a loser. You know why you're a loser? Because the rest of your life, you have bought into a wrong thought process.
Some people don't know what you
know. So that's what I have to think about what you're doing. Why are you only doing this once a week? Does that make sense? It means if I'm benching, I'm thanking God, why would I do this only once a week? Now you could say, Shabbat, if I'm going to do it once a week, I'll do it on Shabbat. But, and again, is it a mitzvah in the Torah? Should I be doing it? Should I be doing it? You have to think about it. That's the whole point. Think about what we're doing. Listen, people become religious or people working themselves. It's a process. And that's the healthy way to do it. But when you have an ideology, if you just, when you're the same way as the 25, 55, 65, 75, something's wrong here. It means you have had no improvement, no self-betterment at all in all these decades. And life is, as we said in the beginning of the book, it's a quarter to the next world. No one's here forever. Nobody's here forever. You know, this person I'm telling, you know, I see him 8 years ago and I see him today and they're in the same place or behind a little. What do you do in 8 years? You know, imagine the following thing. You have a destination. And the person goes like this. They're going back and they don't get ahead. They're getting somewhere, they're not going backwards. They're not calling ahead. Your whole life is gonna be like that way. Your life, all of you are here. A good move. Not because of it, because of the work. What do you think about? We're in this world for a reason. We're in this world to enjoy this world. Be successful in this world. Make the most of the world, but to get to do what we're supposed to in this world. There's only one way you're going to do that, right? There's only one way to be successful in that, right? And that is to take advantage of life. And what he's saying is, this is why the work starts this way. We want to talk about acts of kindness and Shabbos and kosher, blah, 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 everything else, but you want to know how you're going to get ahead? You got to think over your life. You got to think of what you're doing. You got to think of decisions, right? You know, and if you made some poor decisions, well, you think about the next decisions, you know? I remember once I did something, and it was in my 20s, and I had to deal with a situation. I can't believe I was in the situation. And I was in Zelig Epstein's Atzal, one of the great leaders of Jewish people who married me off. I was in his office, and I put my head on his head. I said, there's no way I'm doing this. So he says to me, I was 24. Says to Menachem, you have your whole life ahead of you. The roof didn't fall on your head. You'll deal with it. There's consequences. I had to deal with the situation. You have a whole life ahead of you. You know what? Make decisions. But if you know the problem is sometimes people make a decision and then they have to just dig their feet in it. They just have to. This is who I am. Or, you know, I say this and I don't pick on the Russians, but I was with a Russian. I couldn't believe it. It's like every
the French. So tonight
it could be someone. Like literally, they blame Russia. Oh, there's another. They blame Russia for everything, and the rest of their lives. They left Russia like 35 years ago, but because of who they were 35 years ago, that's who they're at. The rest of their life is going to be that way. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing. I'm Russian. What does that mean? I'm American. You know, like, I can tell you, I mentioned some of you ladies. You know, I said, I have Russians who are doing this, so you have no excuse. Right? You know, but that's how we think. You know, I this is who I am. And really, you have to know who you are. If you're Russian, you should know. And if you're American, you should know. If you're Israeli, you should know that. But then you have to utilize that. And then you have to get ahead in it. And the best way is to think about the world, to weigh our actions, to weigh out what we're supposed to be doing, what we could be doing. That's the most important thing, to be contemplative, not to get blinded. Not in an echo chamber. Not in an echo chamber, sitting in a Reformed temple. Everyone, you know, when Joel Gadalias became religious, and you know, I was there in the beginning, fortunately. So he used to give me his conservative magazine. This conservative magazine. Actually, I was telling this guy yesterday, this head of the Reform. So, you know, this layhead. He's a layhead. So he used to give me, and what would this conservative magazine say? It was the National Public. I read in the bathroom. I was like, you know, it's my fun reading. He didn't want to read it. I wanted to read it. I wanted to see what they had to say. So, you know, it would be like bashing. We're not Orthodox. It was radical, extremist, blah, 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 blah. And the Reform, they have nothing. Like, you know, but like, there was no self-definition in there. Right? But you know what? If you're in that world, everyone's laughing as their kids intermarry, as they have no future, and they're just, they're 65 years old. It's just a funny thing. You know, we're right. And you know what? You look at the demographics. You look at what's going on there. Terrible. Terrible. It's like the person smoking. You know, you smoke yourself to death. Right? But you're in an echo chamber, and everyone just hears that. You know, everyone's smoking. We're not just thinking about thinking. You got to think analytically. Like, it is really, if you're in a place where everyone's smoking, I'm spending money every day on cigarettes, right? I heard some people somewhere get sick. Does this make sense? It does. It's not. So if you're conservative, you're like, oh, I'm against intermarriage. Well, why don't you look at the intermarriage rate and see what's going on and why this is happening, right? You know, you believe in the Torah. You believe in the Torah. Great. Let's look. What does the Torah have to say? Does it say keep kosher style? Does it say keep kosher at home and not in the streets? What does the Torah, what does God have to say? What does Hashem have to say? Not what you have to say. Let's analyze. Let's look for the truth. Again, a person could say, listen, I'm not there yet. I hear that. That's not an ideology. That's that you could work with such a person and they could work on themselves. And they could work, but the minute you're blinded, you're not going to get there. Klal Shel Davar. The sum of the matter is, Tzarech Ha'adam, a person has to lispoinim v'sichlo, tamei b'chol zman. You gotta think in a healthy manner, always. It was man kavu. I had to put a few minutes a day to think over life. Ma'wa derech ha'amiti, what's the true path? L'fichoy katayra, according to the Torah way. Sha'adam tzarech leilichbo, that a person should follow. V'achar kach, once you know that path, I happen to like, there are pluses and minuses of a biography, but I was just reading with my daughter. So Sima, I'm learning with her tonight. So Sima actually went to read a biography, so reading a tzaddik in her time. So you ever heard of a tzaddik in her time? Arba'ari Levine, wonderful book. Unbelievable book. So tonight, we're reading about Arba'ari Levine's wife and how she had guests and all this type of thing. So Sima, who's age 12, is learning about Rebbetzin Levine. No relationship to me, unfortunately. But actually, she is related to my wife, though, distantly. We're reading about this lady to learn. This is how a Jewish lady should be hospitable, invest in her family, invest in children. So she's going to see this way a tzaddikus acts. That's a great way to act. Not like some woman in Hollywood showing her belly button, you know, with a different boy every week with pictures on magazines. But like, wait a bit, Levine. Not.
Your Rebbe to Levine is also an excellent
She model. Is, but you know what? She also had models. I mean, I'm inspired by her. So the thing, what are you supposed to be in this world? What in the world are we doing here? You know, I'm telling you right now, and we all know this, most people never really think about this. They don't really think. It's like they just drive in life like blinded, like, you know, like just like zooming ahead. Is this the right way? It's not. If you have this, you can much more easily purify from any bad. And to fix our ways, to do more, to be better. Weigh the course of your foot, and all your ways will be proper. You know, sometimes, by the way, actually, you know, somebody becomes observant, or somebody works on something, and they have to slow them down. Because it's not going to last, right? You got to say, ooh, take it easy. Sometimes they're like a turtle. You know, you got to get a little fuel in the fire, right? You got to weigh out your ways. For Amar Nachbasa, Yirmiyah, Jeremiah says in Eicha, Nachbasa Darcheinu, let us search our ways, V'nachkoira, and examine them, V'nashuva L'Hashem, and then we'll return to Hashem. The beginning of all self-growth is self-introspection. Okay, we'll pick up next week.